This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Tuesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And it's going to be hot, hot, hot today. Oh, my.
I know.
Summer's here.
Well, I'm just looking at even the forecast. We have Marion County Fair coming up this week.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And actually, the weather looks glorious. A low 80s on Friday, otherwise high 70s. It is going to be the perfect weekend. Of course, the 80-degree day is the day I will be at the fairground most of the day.
Now, do we have our regular spot?
We do.
That's pretty prime real estate.
We will be back right there in our regular spot Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I will be there Friday. We'll be broadcasting Rural Matters Live.
Oh,
from
is that Jake doing an extended show?
We are doing an extended show. We will have a normal 12 to 1, and then we do take a little bit of a break for the old Trailblazer show, and then we'll be back for another 40 minutes or so until 2 o'clock.
Awesome, awesome. So I'm assuming he's getting some good guests lined up. He's done that for a couple of years now. So That's cool. Well, yesterday we kind of teased what we were going to talk about, and I did a deep dive this morning for show prep on this. I'm freaked out. I don't like this. I think a lot of people probably feel the same. The surveillance state in this country is getting out of control. And right there at the top of the list is these flock cameras. And I got it in my email over the weekend, Gun News Now, because this was a different take on it that I hadn't thought about. Headline is Flock's AI can track every gun owner in America and nobody voted for it. And nobody voted for any of this. This is the surveillance state on steroids. We always talk about, I'm so glad I came of age and I was a teenager in my young 20s in the 80s when there weren't cameras and everything else. Thank God there was no YouTube and everything else. Well, now we have flipped it on our head. They're everywhere. Well, they're not everywhere because I have another app. There's another one where we're going to talk about where you can find out what's around you. But this is disturbing.
Well, and that's the thing. I'm sitting there going, growing up in the 90s, I can sit there and go, I am so glad that there weren't A, public cameras everywhere, B, even private property cameras everywhere, and C, not everyone had a camera in their pocket.
Yeah.
Because I'm going, your kids, you're doing things that are pushing boundaries and they may not necessarily be illegal, but you're out there doing what you do. And, the last thing you need, especially, we see it in politics and business in this. It's like you have that one thing from 25 years ago that somebody pulls out of nowhere and holds it over their head. And I'm going, thank goodness we didn't grow up with cameras.
Right. And we've talked about this, too, just a kind of a little sidebar over here. But as far as, Gen Z and everything, they're not partying as much. They're not connecting with people. They're not hanging out. They don't want to be caught on camera looking foolish. So they're not taking any risks. They're not really living their life fully because that risk, again, of something coming up, if it comes up now, if it comes up 10 years from now, 20 years from now, is just too great. It's very worrisome. That's not even a strong enough word for where we are headed.
Well, I sit there and I go, it is a two-headed coin because what you have on one side is when something dramatic does happen, rather than people get involved to defuse or to help with the situation, they all pull out their cameras because they want that viral video.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side, they're not doing anything. The ones that are thinking logically aren't doing anything because they don't want to be caught on a viral video.
Yeah,
so I'm just kind of going, it's such a two-headed coin in how it all works. Because sometimes they all want video and other times nobody wants a video.
Well, let me read a little bit of this article because this is kind of what got me thinking about. Let's talk more about this and do a deep dive into Salem Kaiser area and everything. So government surveillance of American citizens has exploded into a major national fight. And at the center of it is Flock Safety, a private company quietly building one of the largest AI-powered tracking networks in history. Flock systems rely on automatic license plate readers, or ALPRs. For the acronym, that log your movements, upload the data to the cloud, make it searchable by thousands of agencies. Mm-hmm. All the cameras don't just watch criminals, they watch everyone. And that includes gun owners. So the network can track who visits gun stores, who drives to shooting ranges, who attends firearm-related events. So you combine this with AI-driven pattern analysis, the system can identify, quote, unusual behavior. They can flag, quote, repeat visits, and they can build profiles of lawful Americans exercising their constitutional rights. Again, this is not, quote, public safety. That's mass surveillance with machine learning teeth. That should chill you to the bone.
Well, and I also sit there and I go, you purchase a car, you register a car, it's now in your name. If you are a registered gun owner, now that is linked to that. So they can literally follow your car. And it doesn't even have to be you.
Nice.
I have four cars because I have four licensed drivers in my family, but yet they're all under my name. So I get caught. So one of my kids driving around gets caught on one of these cameras. They could assume it's me. My wife driving around on one of, you know, any number of things, because there is no checks and balances after it.
And so I don't know if have that viral video of the woman where this very belligerent jerk of a cop, frankly, I'm sorry, but his attitude sucked, came to her door and accused her of being a porch pirate, a package thief. We got you on camera. We've got you here. You were here at exactly 11:52. He was bold in his absolute wrongness. It turns out, no, she wasn't. She was, though, guilty until proven innocent, which flips everything American and our legal system on its head. She had to go out and get Ring camera video, her own surveillance of her and everything else to prove that she was nowhere near that, that they had the wrong person. And then they tried to ask the head of the company of Flock. And I don't know that Flock needed to apologize, but that cop sure as hell did.
Well, and that's the other trick is because of how this whole system is designed. It is a guilty until proven innocent mentality. You are literally, whereas, you know, let's take something as simple as a traffic stop.
Yeah.
You know, officer pulls you over, says, I caught you doing this. Here's your ticket. You know, you have your choice of what you want to do with it. Well, now there's no longer an officer involved. There's no more conversation. There's no more, I saw you do this, and I know it's you because you're sitting in front of me in the car. It is, we ran a license plate. It's registered to you. Here's your ticket. Prove otherwise.
You know, and I got to do a, because AI, people rely on AI, and you tend to think you can trust it. Just a little personal story, because we were doing some artwork. And I put some things into it and I gave it everything I needed it to do. I was in a rush. So I'm like, let me have AI do this for me. So I get it all done. You get it. I glance at it thinking it looks right, but you do a deeper dive on it. And one of the logos I had put in there, AI decided it didn't like what I put in. It could do it better. And it completely changed the name and the logo.
Yeah. It was ironic because the design of the logo stayed the same. And I actually had to do a double take and look at about three or four different versions going, wait a second, these are different words.
And so if something as simple as a little bit of artwork for some social media, it didn't get that right after. And literally I'm like, do not change anything. I'm giving it instructions, doing it. So you take that out to this level where now you've got guilty until proven innocent. You lump in gun rights. And then of course it's just, well, it's for safety. It's to help stop crime. So, of course, gun owners are like, where have we heard all this before? Red flag laws. It's for safety. It's for the children. It's for everybody else. And that slippery slope gets slipperier and steeper and steeper. So everyone, you really should be very cautious, extremely cautious about this.
Yeah, the idea of surveillance and you got to break it up and you go, you know, on your private property, if you have cameras, that's your choice.
Yep.
You protect your property. I'm not a big advocate of the idea of let's get halfway down the neighborhood with my cameras. I think that's a little overboard. You know, businesses, a parking lot at a business, having cameras and being able to see what's going on in your parking lot. That's one thing. But the idea that our government is utilizing unmanned cameras that virtually make the decision with minimal human interaction is absolutely frightening, especially when you look at government's history of being able to keep your information, your public information, a little bit concealed is not very good. Let's put it that way.
Right, because it's going up to a fluffy cloud in the sky that can be accessed by all kinds of agencies. And are we assuming they're all benevolent and they're all just, oh, no, we're just going to be strictly, it's just, it'll be fine. Trust me, I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
It's, well, you know, the idea that, you know, it's strictly for monitoring. It'll help with recovering stolen cars. Go check with people that have had their cars stolen. Go check with, you know, any police statistics. Stolen cars, they pretty much throw their hands up in the air and say, well, maybe it'll turn up.
Yeah.
I went through this when I was 18, 19 years old. I had a car literally stolen. I knew who did it. I knew where they could find that person. I literally walked the police to him, but we couldn't find the car. I spent a whole day looking for the car, and it turned out they had parked it to strip it of all the electronics and everything else out of it in front of an access road to a utility stop. So the utility company called them. They called me and said, you have about an hour to get the car out of the way or we're towing it to impound. I'm like, wait a second. And then...
Well,
and then they go, they arrest the person. I actually found two people that were with him that
they
night.
This must have been years ago.
This was in 1997.
When they still arrested people.
I went out. Well, no. See, I went out and I found the two people that were in the car with him that night.
Ah.
And I got their statements. They gave their statements to the police. Everything else. They arrested him. He spent a weekend in lockup. And then they released him and said, we're releasing him because the only two witnesses were accomplices. And realistically, it is so hard to virtually prosecute a stolen car scenario because even those high speed chases you see on TV and things like that, if that guy says, you know, I didn't know the car was stolen, they're not going down for stealing the car. They are going to go down for the high speed chase and all these other things. But the stolen car aspect, they will walk on.
So are you... Are you saying that security cameras would have helped you in that situation? Are you advocating for them a little bit?
I am. I wish I had one at my house because if I had caught him on camera stealing my car at my residence, that would have been one thing. But at a public level, it wouldn't have mattered one bit because all he has to do is claim I didn't know it was stolen.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
No, public cameras would be useless in that scenario.
Yeah, well, just before we take a break, Flock does it operates in 5,000 cities across 49 states. The only one without Flock cameras is Alaska for now. So we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back because there's a website out there that can show you where they are. Mm-hmm. Are they near you? Are they in Salem? Are they in Kaiser? Are they around? We're going to do some deep diving into that. So we're going to take a break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Okay, so now that got me wondering, well, what's around me? Now, I live very rural now, so the answer for me is nothing.
Woo, lucky you.
For now.
Well, I work right here in Kaiser. What are we looking at there?
I looked up the station address. There is nothing in the vicinity. But let me do, I've got a map up here. I'm on maps.deflock.org, and this will tell you. I'm looking at Salem, Kaiser, Monmouth, and Independence could have pulled out. Right in this view, there are 31 cameras in view. So and just by looking at this map, there's a cluster in Monmouth. There's a couple in Independence. There's a couple in Kaiser. It looks like maybe five. Six. And in Salem, there are the majority of them are in Salem. There is nothing by the station. But I'm zooming in now to Salem, and it looks like, where am I here? I am in South Salem.
Yep.
Southeast Salem. And I'm not going to give, because we got our, you know, people out there, because there's a story about on Independence Day, somebody decided, I don't want these cameras in my neighborhood, and they took their actions into their own hand. Commercial Street seems to be a hotbed for them. There are a lot of them on Commercial, South Commercial. There are a few of them on Madrona. There are some on Liberty. Yeah, Commercial seems to be where the bulk of it, Commercial and Kubler. Or Kubler, however you want to say it. So you can go in and it just shows it there. Let me just click on one and see what happens. It's a traffic signal. So that's where, remember we've always seen it's like where there's little those cameras are showing up on traffic signals. So most of them are in intersections, and that's what I'm seeing. They're at intersections. And so they're just there for traffic. That's it. But they are ALPR cameras.
Okay. So I sit here and I go, what we are trusting with these cameras is that I would assume just about every Flock employee has access to these. And I don't know what kind of background checks Flock does.
That's a good question, because like even in military or government, there are levels, there are security clearance levels, and there are people supposedly that are vetted to gain those security clearances.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a friend that works in a fire detection field using cameras that are out in the woods for fire detection. And, you know, they contract out. So the government agencies or the private owners, they have access to get to these videos. But of course, the majority of the employees of the company also have access to these cameras because they may need to do their update on them or do maintenance or do any of these other things. So, okay, so Flock employees, probably the vast majority, and I would assume minimal background checks, probably have access to these. Police, law enforcement, I assume district attorneys all have it. And so we are to suspect that everyone at every level of this thing is such a good actor that they are willing to do nothing outside of the law and use this to their own advantage.
Well, except I saw a story this morning. I don't know the agency. I don't know where it was, but it was a law enforcement official who accessed the data from these cameras and used it. And I'm not naming names, so I'm not going to say allegedly to stalk a woman and to harass her, because this individual had access to this data. And so we have to assume that all our benevolent angels that have no foibles, no nothing in their background, no passions.
They never have a relationship dissolve that has animosity.
Right.
They never end up in a you know, custody type battle or an alimony type scenario or, you know, grounds for divorce scenario. I mean, there's literally PIs that make a living off of following people to get pictures of them caught in the act. And we want to believe that that would never translate to the point that somebody would access these to utilize movements of someone.
Yeah. So I don't, I guess I'm just a cynical, jaded adult, but I don't. And then again, you've got the company, you know, claiming some things that I'm not sure that you know, they insist that they don't use heat tracking or advanced vehicle analytics, but they were caught misleading a Wisconsin city council. And the documents show that the company stores vehicle movement data for up to 30 days. So it's not like it's just one and done. It's only recalled if you need it. It sits out there everywhere you drive. It's being processed. And Americans are starting to notice. I noticed. Yep. You noticed. And I'm not thrilled with this at all.
Well, and the other thing we know that historically... it is a problem in toll bridge kind of areas, and a lot of people utilize it, is they put either a reflective tape or some kind of alteration to their license plate in order to not get caught on these. So how easy would it be to just kind of put a different number that reflects or any number of ways?
So somebody altering a license plate. So then woe to the person who has that license plate number, because now you're going to have some cop like this guy we talked about earlier who thinks he's got you dead to rights because he's got video evidence. You're now guilty until proven innocent, all because some criminal changed a B to an R.
Okay, how about this one? Because I have a personal story. This is a relatively recent one. My father-in-law, who lives up in the Portland area, drives a early 2000s Ford Focus. And one day, it was around Halloween a year ago, he was outside and noticed that his license plate was missing. So he checked the other side of the car. That license plate was missing. What ended up occurring was, up in Washington State, a couple of people stole a early 2000s Ford Focus, saw him driving on the freeway, followed him to his house, waited till nightfall, went and stole the license plate off of his car to put it on their car, because if they were to be seen, no one is going to realize that they were driving a stolen car, because it's virtually the same vehicle with license plates.
And you have no human who may suspect something or may have a little discernment and do a double check. The AI is just going to go, gotcha. Going to send that out to law enforcement, and your dad then has got to prove himself innocent.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's no wonder opposition is coming from civil liberties group. I mean, privacy advocates, constitutional conservatives, grassroots gun activists. Nobody likes this. Well, I know we're coming up on the bottom of the hour because you've got people saying, well, it's reasonable to not expect privacy on a public road. Okay. But,
well, and I just sit here and go, here's the other thing for me. How much luck have we had in this country allowing one company to become so large that they can't fail? Because guess what? They virtually control everything.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking at with a private company in Flock taking so much power and so much strength from our local government to a certain extent with these cameras. And I'm going, so now is this a new too big to fail kind of scenario?
I think so. And with the sentiment out there where you see socialism and communism on the rise among the ignorant, frankly. And so they're like, well, you know what, Ben Franklin, if when you those who trade essential liberty for temporary security deserve neither. You got a lot of people that are willfully going, this is great. Sign me up. I love this. Let me do this. It's like the with the Ring doorbell Super Bowl ad with checking down the dogs. Most people recoiled in disgust at that. But not everybody.
Yeah. Well, I just sit here and I go, look at it this way. They claim that this is something that can be used to catch like child trafficking and things like that. I'm sitting here going, but when there's an Amber Alert, 99.9% of the time, wasn't a camera that found the vehicle in question. It was people.
It's eyeballs on the freeway.
Yep. Getting that word out. So now will we see less of that word because they're just going to assume cameras are going to take care of it all? I wouldn't trust the safety of a child to a camera because guess what? The one aspect is imagine how much it would cost to monitor these things 24/7.
Yeah. Yeah. This is not a good trend. This is not a good trend. This is giving up your personal liberty for the illusion of safety. And this doesn't end well. Not at all.
Where have we heard that before? Come on.
I know. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about some more things that are threatening our personal liberty on the other side of the brain. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Okay, just another really handy site. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, though, is a site called atlasofsurveillance.org. And you can really kind of geek out on this one, too. It's documenting police tech in our communities with open source research. Now, a lot of these are not surprising. Obviously, the Oregon Department of Aviation, they have drones. Marion County Sheriff's Office uses drones. Salem PD, body-worn cameras. I think all of those things were kind of like, you know, because the body cameras have disproven so many baloney lies coming from the communists who are out there, the street animals, and trying to spin narratives that are completely wrong. So those body cameras have been great. Oregon State Police uses them. DMV uses facial recognition. Actually, I was flying and you had to show your face and they had to match your face to fly.
So
Salem, yeah, go ahead.
I am all for the body cameras. And I can understand the use of police departments using drones. Virtually, they're replacing for a lot less expensive the helicopter mentality.
Yeah.
Because prior to that, it was helicopters. So those I can get behind.
Yeah, and I think most people can, but is that sort of the, are you at the top of the slippery slope hill? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Salem Police Department also does camera registry, which is registering your Blink or your Ring cams and things like that. Oregon Terrorism Information Threat Assessment Network has a fusion center, which is, this one was interesting. It's a command center for gathering, analyzing, and disseminating intelligence and other public safety. Salem Police Department does utilize ALPRs and drones and body cameras. And so that's another interesting site. Kaiser is the same, Woodburn as drones and body cameras. So there are a lot of resources out there if you are concerned and want to know. I just did a search on you, Hunter, and the closest one to you is pretty far away. So they're not necessarily in residential areas unless you live close to major, you know, arteries that are intersections. That's where they seem to be focused in right now.
Well, and I think some of that is because it offers a revenue for financial gain for the city. You can utilize those traffic cameras to catch people running red lights, speeding and other elements that, you know, they can send you a ticket in the mail. And I know, I believe the city of Salem made a pretty penny on these red light, just like six of them over the last few years.
Yeah, but also I've heard your stats that they also cause an uptick in rear end and rear end accidents as well. So
the other one that caught me is when you're driving in the evening as the sun is starting to set, they have very bright flashes. And I'm kind of going, so you're, if you're talking about someone who's running a red light and speeding and you literally blind them with the flash of a camera, I'm going, I'm surprised there isn't more accidents in those scenarios.
I'm really more of an advocate because I know we've talked about Salem PD in particular that is woefully understaffed. I'm of the let's staff them up and get human beings out there on the street with body cams, sure, but get more people out there as who actually will observe the crimes. One of the things you're looking, because I'm hearing a lot of people, including a lot of conservatives, that are like, well, you know, like I said, it's a public roadway. There's no expectation of privacy, which is a true statement that you get people, YouTube streamers. It's like, I'm on a public right away. I can film you. Yeah, you can.
Well, and that's in that. But I would draw the line where there is no reasonable expectation of privacy. True. But the ability for them to use what they are collecting against you.
Yeah.
Is where I would start to draw the line, especially at the government level.
So what do you say to somebody who says, well, it's just, you know, there's not enough officers out there. It's just automating what they can observe.
Well, I would say, I think your point is right. Let's concentrate on getting the staff levels off so there are officers to observe this. Because realistically, if you take this to a court of law, an officer's statement and body cam footage is going to go a whole lot farther than any AI videos.
Exactly.
One. Two, a scenario like this, let's say you drive up to PDX, you're flying out for a few days, someone steals your car from the parking lot there, goes and commits an armed robbery with it. Now you're coming home to find that you are the prime suspect in an armed robbery.
Good luck with that, Mr. Guilty Until Proven Innocent. This one, you talked about this in the first half of the show. The people claiming that they recover stolen vehicles and locate kidnapping suspects quickly. I would love to see some data on that because I don't think that's necessarily true.
I would question that. Go up to Portland and talk to the people. I mean, I remember a few months ago, literally, they were doing a news report on a stolen vehicle and another stolen vehicle drove through the shot.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm going, one, they're not out there actively recovering stolen vehicles, even with the use of these cameras. They're not using this for that. And number two, like we said, is the kidnapping suspects. 99.9% of those are because of the Amber Alerts and people on the lookout for vehicles.
Yeah, yeah. They some might say, well, there's the data retention limits and the audit logs. Will they provide safeguards? Again, the theme here is, well, it's safety. It's for your safety.
Well, I just sit here and go, and that is us relying on a private company to actually have high, high morals and everyone involved having high, high morals.
Well, that's a public-private partnership because on the other side, you've got the public sector that's coming in there. And then sort of the last argument you might hear from people. And this one I'm a little torn on because criminals increasingly cross jurisdictions and they make making shared databases are valuable. How many times have we watched true crime stories from like back in the day? Let's bring up Ted Bundy, for example. Washington, he committed crimes in Washington. He committed crimes in Florida. Those two agencies didn't talk to each other, so they didn't know what they had. That Bundy was down there, so it took a lot longer. So that one is like, I think of all those, that one is the one that is like, maybe you can make a case for that. Maybe.
Well, I sit here and go, yes, I am in full agreeance that there needs to be a better database for crimes, especially ones that potentially could be crossing jurisdictions and state lines.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the fact that the FBI and the CIA and other government agencies didn't communicate prior to well with each other prior to 9/11, now we have Homeland Security.
Yeah.
So the lack of communication between agencies has been used for government growth and creating more restrictions on people and more ways to follow you.
Yes, I'm growing the surveillance state, which should be concerning to all of us. So, I mean, obviously, I think most of us are really on the side of my bent is towards opposing these things. Mm-hmm. And number one reason, of course, is the Fourth Amendment was written specifically to prevent generalized government surveillance. Show me your papers. You're guilty until proven innocent. We've got you dead to rights on the camera. Well, no.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And of course, innocent people should not have their movement stored just in case.
I have heard this argument from so many people, and they always say, well, I've got nothing to hide. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, who's deciding what it is you need to be hiding? And then one day, maybe they will decide that, oh, yes, you do.
Well, I sit here and go, you want real life comparisons. When, you know, especially now we're in the video age, when we see the videos of maybe in a predominantly black community, a robbery occurs, the suspect is a 6 foot tall black male, and then these outrage videos of the police questioning a 6 foot tall black male just to make sure they're not the suspect being looked for, then there's this outrage. So I'm going, well, so what is it? Is it outrageous to assume it could be this person, or is it the other way around?
So you're saying pick a lane.
Pick a lane.
You made a comment before we went on air, too, because history shows that surveillance tools of any kind, of any technological advancement, they always mm-hmm. expand beyond their original mission. That initial core mission of it's for the children, it's for safety, it gets so bloated and expands out, it becomes abused. I think almost always.
Well, let's go to the very simple thing. Ring cameras were developed so you could see who's showing up at your house.
Right.
And
great.
Now there's
love that.
And now there's a database that you can sign up for that will help find lost dogs.
Right.
Or porch pirates. Or maybe any other crime the police need access to your cameras for.
Yes. Right. So started out as something good. So also then we've talked about this, too. We have to believe that everybody who has access to the data is as pure as the driven snow and as a benevolent angel. But it's shared with thousands of agencies, so many eyeballs on it. The threat of misuse is there and it can't be ignored.
Well, that goes right back to it. When you're talking about a private company, government, you know, kind of co-op that has access to these kinds of videos, I'm going, you got one side of the aisle that will kick and scream and say that big businesses are bad and government is bad. Why would you want them having access to all of these videos?
And exactly. And I certainly don't. And then, of course, finally, it used to be back in the day, probable cause. Mm-hmm. I have probable cause to pull you up, which I've gotten rid of that. A broken taillight, a broken brake light, two windows tinted too dark just for traffic. That's probable cause to pull somebody over to take a little deeper look, maybe. Mm-hmm. But this, there's no probable cause here. It's just snap, there's your picture, you're caught on a camera. Again, that cop going up there literally saying, I've got you dead to rights, you were there at 11:52, but she wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I just, you know, for me, I just sit there and I go, what if, you know, there was access to this kind of technologies in, you know, mid to late 1930s Germany, or, you know, the Cultural Revolution in China, where the government was the biggest enemy of the people. And how would the world be different if they were able to literally quell any uprising and capture anybody they wanted to utilizing this kind of technology?
Yeah. And you've got a dictatorial, tyrannical government who doesn't care about your individual rights at all. So you could even just be just swept up in a net of surveillance and capture. All of this makes me very, very nervous. More than nervous. I'm really flat out again. I think, you know, in three segments, I've convinced myself I don't like this.
No,
at all.
I have so many challenges with law enforcement agencies being able to just surveil at random.
Yeah.
For any reason. And it doesn't take much to decide, oh, well, we think something might have occurred here at this time. So let's go ahead and just see what's really going on.
Yes. And then to kind of circle back to where we came in with this, as far as for gun rights, this is all being compiled and built up against you. It's like, what was it? Show me the man and I'll show you the felony. I mean, that's where we're heading with this.
Well, don't they make movies based on that kind of stuff? The one where it's like they were putting people on trial for crimes they were going to commit in the future?
That's Minority Report. Okay. Future crime. Mm-hmm. Exactly. We're tracking your movements and you were there and there and there. That adds up to a pattern.
Well,
that we don't like.
And I sit here and say, yeah, we may sound a little tinfoil hat, a little crazy off the edge right
Do
now.
We though?
But I'm going, let's go back 5 years ago where they utilized every bit of information and everything else to literally criminalize people for not getting an experimental shot.
Yeah. For a little virus there that what had a 99.9% survival rate.
Mm-hmm.
So we stopped the world for that. And yeah.
If you think your government isn't willing to do what needs to be done to take control, I have a bridge in Arizona I'd love to sell you.
Well, a lot of people would like to take a look at that bridge. All right, let's go ahead and take a break and we'll wrap up today's show. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
All right, so kind of distill it down. As with so many things in our country today and, you know, sort of in the Western world, mostly, it's specifically in America. It's really not Republicans versus Democrats anymore. No. I don't think it is politically. I think in this case, it's law and order versus limited government. And that what makes it a little bit of there's a stressor in there, as I think as conservatives, we support both of those.
Mm-hmm.
So there's tension there. There's some tension in that.
Yeah. And I would say that this is an issue that doesn't have a political party. Granted, you have people that identify their whole lives based on politics, so they have to pick a side. But I sit here and go, do you really think any of these Antifa crazies outside of the ICE facility in Portland are wanting these kinds of cameras watching their behavior?
Clearly they don't, because they cover their faces.
Uh-huh. So I'm kind of going, this is one of those issues. And I'm guaranteed they see it from a different perspective than whether it's law and order versus limited government. They see it as, we need to do what we want to do and you need to stay out of our way and bow down.
And I don't
want to
go to jail.
Yeah. I mean, it's a different perspective, but it's the same argument.
So we've kind of broken down, because there are arguments that could be made on both sides of that. I mean, number one is crime is out of control, mm-hmm. but it's certain populations, certain demographics, certain age groups that are responsible for most of it. And when you really look at it, take any city, number one, is it run by a communist? Mm-hmm. And chances are, yes, it is. And then look at, usually it's a smaller group of people that are responsible for the vast majority of crimes. Mm-hmm. So if you go look at it from the perspective of, you need to up the numbers of actual human beings that are in law enforcement, arrest the people that have had 44 encounters with law enforcement in the past 10 years. Get them off the streets. Lock them up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing is, you know, the idea of how much surveillance is acceptable to catch criminals. And I just sit here and go, the vast majority of criminals that actually get arrested and spend any time behind bars, there's human witnesses. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to take much for a good lawyer to debunk an AI perspective of a crime. Number one. Number two, that whole perception, it's a failure of our justice system. And activist judges and activist this and understaffed prosecutors and this and
yep,
that.
Yep.
It is a system error which is causing this desire and this talking point of, we need to be able to catch the criminals better.
Right. And so, and people are feeling increasingly less safe. We've had a lot of conversations about that. But you have to look at a point when, you know, these are tools that some people could argue make policing more effective, but then it butts up against our constitutional rights. And we've got a society that you've seen over the generations that is trading their liberty for, in most cases, the illusion of safety. How many times have you had to go through TSA and take your shoes off? Do you really think that's made you safe? It hasn't.
No, especially
TSA in general.
Well, yeah. I mean, overall, I'm just sitting here going, the vast majority of catches that TSA has had nothing to do with someone trying to get an oversized bottle of conditioner through. Right. It has to do with either prior knowledge that something is in the works, or virtually an accidental catch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy did something with his shoe one time. And so the overreach, and it's always this sort of knee-jerk overreach, overreaction. So, but a lot of times, and I think living in a free society, you do have to accept a certain level of risk, which is also why we talk about, and I certainly talk about, you have to be self-sufficient. You have to pay attention. You have to be a self-sufficient, be your own first responder. And we've got a culture that is trying to push people away from believing what their own eyes see. Don't trust your gut feeling. You're not the first responder. Sit there and wait for somebody to come save you. That is the antithesis of what it really, to me, has been our long 250 years of what it means to be an American. Rugged individualism and freedom seem to be passé now.
Well, I would associate that with toxic masculinity.
Oh,
and
gosh.
You know, we just can't. But that's the thing. I'm just sitting here going, the fact of the matter is we are conditioned society to literally see something going on that we question, pick up the phone, call 911, wait for however long it takes for someone to respond. I'm sitting there going, the vast majority of crime problems, assaults, whatever you want to talk about, are going to happen within the time between that phone call and the arrival of any help.
And then remember the Daniel Penny case in New York City about a young man who did step in to try to protect people, and what message does that send to the rest of the younger men or even older men who want to get in? And I did see another video of these Antifa cretins trying to burn a flag, and some, you know, probably Gen Xer guy was having none of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he went in there and he kind of slammed him to the ground and made him stop. And I'm like, good, but you're going to see a lot more people doing that. So you get to a point where when you start pushing good men who just want to be left alone, you're not going to like what you got to find. And if you want a real perfectly safe society, full surveillance, look no further than North Korea, because that's there is a balance in there. And if you've got a couple of generations that are sort of being bred into them, being indoctrinated and brainwashed that they do not control their own lives, that I'm from the government and I'm here to help, and that's the answer. That slippery slope has gotten a lot steeper.
Well, yeah. And you know, some of these questions on here, excuse me, at what point does affecting policing become incompatible with constitutional protections? And I'm going, it already is.
Right.
You know, the fact that they are using these things, like we said, a lot of this is a guilty until proven innocent mentality. Oh, man.
Well, the other one, I mean, because this is all about technology and it can help solve crime, but it needs to be constrained. There needs to be checks and balances. And so that really depends on, again, who's making your laws, who's writing the policies, who's there enforcing the laws, law enforcement. I mean, we've seen a lot of disturbing videos out of the UK where you've got the training that goes into these law enforcement is to believe the person crying racism. And we look at the Henry Novak case. He was the injured, innocent victim here, but he wasn't treated that way. So if you've got training in law enforcement going that way, you've got a surveillance state going on. None of this bodes well for our constitutional rights in this country. And you've got a generation or two coming up saying, that's fine.
Well, but it goes into why I can sit here and say I can support body cameras and drones, but not want this surveillance at random, because the true usage of body cam footage or even drone footage is to to virtually back up what a police officer is saying. So you have an officer witnesses this, they give their statement, the body cam footage is either going to agree with it or disagree with it, and now you have a basis for a proper legal, you know, accommodations.
I think that sounds reasonable. So I think if you are concerned about this, I mean, this is something that would need to be addressed by city council, by Salem PD. I would definitely do a deep dive. You can do a deep dive. That deflock.org and then what was the other one? Atlas of Surveillance. Those are just two sites.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of strange bedfellows coming together, the ACLU and then constitutional conservatives are coming together saying this is not okay. The motivations may be different, but I would be very concerned about this. And they are not going to just stop at four cameras.
Well, I sit here and go, and how long until, if I was to go onto the ODOT website, I can look at their traffic cams or even some of these news stations. You go on and look at their traffic cams, see what they're seeing as you plan your route. How long until these have that kind of access to the public?
Yeah. So all of this really concerning. Thanks for hanging out for us with this deep dive today. Podcast will be up in about an hour with all the links of what we talked about. See you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.